Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of anything related to Amazon FBA product level and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring another special guest. His name is Luis and he's the co-founder of Hocodo, where they specialize on helping B2B merchants manage payment terms. We know B2B is actually something very intriguing for most e-commerce sellers. A lot of us specialize only on the B2C operations of things, but B2B is actually a very interesting vertical that even myself have been exploring lately. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to find all the insights that Luis is going to share today very, appealing in terms of understanding how to expand your business into this avenue, basically. So Luis, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, good afternoon, Vincenzo. Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The pleasure is mine. I've been seeing a little bit, everything you've been doing with Hocodo, and I think it's such an amazing solution you've been providing so to B2B businesses. But before we jump into that, though, I know you also have such a interesting background when it comes to entrepreneurship. So tell us a little bit about how you came up with the idea. On my shows, I always like to highlight that. And then, of course, we can dive into the topic, right?
Yeah, sure. So, fundamentally what we do is we work on B2B payments. I'm one of the co-founders of the company here at Hocodo. And how we came across this massive problem is that, fundamentally, e-commerce is happening everywhere. You had that first wave in B2C and now it's taking place in B2B. About 6-7 years ago, I realized that companies didn't have a good way to purchase when it was for professional procurement. And basically the financial services and the payments industry was letting everyone down. In particular, because in B2B, I'm sure we'll deep dive into this, but the high level thing is that people are used to purchasing on terms. So this means, paying in 30 or 60 days when they receive an invoice. And currently the way e-commerce payments are operating is by credit card and with upfront payments. That's very fine in B2C. That's just not how people want to buy in B2B. And they hit the ceilings of their credit cards all the time. And that's where we started digging, came across a whole bunch of issues along the way. And there's a massive thing that needs to be addressed. And it touches payments, but many other things. And at the end of the day, it's about, the experience, the checkout experience that you provide to B2B customers.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think B2B, it's been something that's not been getting evolution in terms of, the way e-commerce is been evolving at the same pace as B2C. Like B2C, we see so many technologies going out every single day in terms of, how to support businesses on that realm. But B2B, I feel you, it's been forgotten. It's still like in the old days, it's like upfront and everything. And it's great that you found that gap in the market and basically brought the solution with Hocodo, I think talking about B2B, this is such an interesting thing because you guys released a very interesting report where basically you were surveying, around 500 businesses in the UK and Europe. And basically, it was interesting that you identify certain trends in terms of what is the difference between, certain habits in terms of B2C compared to B2B. So maybe we can start with that, because I feel sometimes people don't realize about certain similarities between both business models and how you can use that to your advantage if you decide to do the jump. Like maybe let's start with that, you know?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, that report actually made a bit of a splash and got us quite a lot of followership because, as you say, we surveyed hundreds, more than 500 businesses in the UK on the continent. And to understand what were their purchasing habits, so, you know, yeah, in B2B, what we heard was, in B2B, there's been that kind of prejudice that the bulk of the transactions are still happening offline, and yeah, and that while this is true, that oftentimes the final settlement is done via an invoice that is sent by email to someone, to an accounts payables department or something like that, what we found out was way beyond our expectations, which was that 93% of B2B buyers used e-commerce at some point in their purchase. So when you take the whole funnel, like that's an entire piece around awareness, consideration, discovery of the product, is actually largely digitized these days. And oftentimes, companies, corporates, B2B practitioners look at the very end of the funnel where the actual percentage of transactions, of B2B transactions happening online, depends a bit depending on the economies, but it's somewhere between 10 and 20%. And that's why usually we say, oh, B2B e-commerce is not that digitized, but there's actually clear evidence that more than 90% of B2B purchasers actually go to the internet and they do exactly what they would do in their personal lives.
Yeah, so that's very interesting.
that was a big finding. And the other one that was even crazier is that 98% of the survey respondents reported that they face issues at the checkout. So you have that massive disconnect between people wanting to purchase online more and the actual experience provided by suppliers not living up to expectations.
Yeah, so this is actually such an interesting insight, because I work very closely with brands that mainly specialize on marketplaces such as Amazon and so on. Yeah. And all the time we have the conversation, I don't think it's worth it to have a B2B offer or a business price or something along those lines. But now connecting that comment I hear all the time with the fact that most of the B2B operations start exploring into a marketplace or this chance to then go and make a B2B purchase, it means so many people is leaving so much money on the table, because from the point of view that they don't have an offer in the first place for B2B basically buyers, those buyers are jumping to other potential competitors that they're offering this, and it's crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you can look at the glass half full and say, it's a disgrace. But on the other hand, it means that there's a massive untapped opportunity there for those who will be able to, just deliver an okay-ish experience, which is not rocket science at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's worth keeping in mind that B2B customers have somewhat different needs, different expectations from B2C. So just doing a pure copy paste won't work.
Of course.
It would be too cool. Once you do that, the size of the prize is huge, because depending on the countries, B2B is between 3 or 4 times the size of B2C.
Exactly.
So when I speak to my clients, usually they're like looking at the different distribution channels between, the in-store, the, call centers, and then the online bit is the fastest growing channel, which again talks to the size of the opportunity. And I think the time to move is now, because in 10 years, it will be too late. In 5 years, it will even be too late. And Amazon is eating the world. It's a good, good example. And it's been fascinating over the past years to see how many features Amazon have developed for B2B customers. So that, yeah, that's
correct. Yeah.
Quite a lot.
I think something, I know, something I want to add so we can jump to the next question I have in mind is, like, for example, we even see big players such as Alibaba.com now jumping to the US very aggressive to basically open the B2B operation to have so many e-commerce sellers to now use Alibaba.com as a window, right? To put their products, to create a vitrine in terms of the offering. And they're growing very fast as well because they have identified that e-commerce now is slightly shifting from B2C to B2B. And even personally, maybe this happens to you all the time. You encounter a very interesting product that you happen to like, and then some usually entrepreneurship minds come and say, oh, what if I buy this product in bulk from this guy and sell it in another place, or sell it in these stores and everything? And if you don't have that offer, it's basically a wasted opportunity. Now, I think when it comes to B2B, I also think that something we have to be mindful of is that your business has to be ready for that, right? Because I feel B2B brings a level of trading volume that if you're not ready in terms of the manufacturing side of things and also your finances, it can be tough, especially the finances, right? Because let's say you're a small business and somebody comes to you and want to buy 5,000 units, but you don't have the money to start the production before you get the payment and everything. It's tough, right? So what have you experienced in your case with your clients? Like, what, how people can mitigate those situations? Because as you say, B2B, they don't pay you everything up front. You have to work with some financing solutions. Like, what is your advice?
I mean, you're hitting on a lot of very good points here. So there are some specificities in B2B around, you know, that's probably even when selling online, a level of customization, like you don't give the same prices to someone who's buying 12 widgets and someone who's buying 1,000 widgets. So you have volume-based pricing and you know, lots of different things. Like the catalog also often has a level of flexibility that you wouldn't give to a you know, just an individual customer. And then in the what you were alluding to on the finance side, that's a big one, also one that was reflected in the report, where we found that 83% of B2B customers would abandon a basket if they were not offered payment terms. And that's where your point around, you know, working capital for the sellers becomes even more pressing, because this means not only do I have to manufacture or purchase 1,000 widgets, which is hurting my finances, but when I sell them, then I'm going to have to wait 30, 60
not
days.
Cash flow.
So, yeah, the impact on the cash flow is massive. Yeah. And this is one of the key things that we ended up discovering at Hokkodo. It's that, you know, people tend to think about B2B payments, but that's only the very tip of the iceberg, because as soon as you need to give 30 days to a customer, then you create some financing needs. You also create some, you know, protection needs. Because if I give someone 30 days, who tells me that he's going to pay me at the end of those 30 days? And it's bad enough that I have to wait 30 days, but that person might go insolvent before then. Or, you know, there could be some fraud. Yeah. He or she might not be the one I think she is. So there's the fraud component is heightened by the payment terms. And then there's... if I'm going to give 30 days to someone, I need to do a proper credit assessment of that potential customer. How do I do it instantly in a way that is compatible with the demands of e-commerce? So how do I avoid killing my workflow, my checkout? And what happens traditionally is that a lot of B2B sellers ask their prospects to populate in a trade account application.
Exactly.
Yeah. That very long PDF, and then we'll come back to you 48 hours later. But that, you know, that's not really e-commerce. You know, you're going to miss so many opportunities if you do that. So, you know, that big piece around payments, finance, accounts receivables, it's all an integrated bit that needs to be deeply transformed to meet the demands of an online sale.
Yeah, for sure. I think because I have seen some of the people I know transition to B2B, and that's the main struggle, like having to provide 36, 90 days payment terms, and sometimes these orders are very big, and if you don't have the cash flow, it's a tricky one. Yeah. So I guess touching on that, just out of curiosity about how Codona comes into play here and can support this transaction happen. Like, you come here as an intermediary and make sure that, you know, how you secure that maybe the seller is going to get their payment, because you mentioned there that it could happen that they pay you 30, 60, but then when the payment for 60 days comes, the money doesn't go through on 90. So how you solve those issues? Because I'm sure people is asking themselves, if that happened to me, how can I protect myself and all that? No?
Yeah, fair questions. You can think of Hokodo as a payment solution that would be a little bit like Klarna or Affirm in B2C. So essentially, the customer gets 30, 60 days, whatever it is that they need to pay. And on the other hand, you as the merchant or the marketplace, you have the option of receiving the cash earlier.
Cool.
And that comes with all the payment protection options, fraud detection that are required. So that as a merchant, I know that when it's sold, and I will get the cash no matter what.
Nice.
So it's also, by virtue of doing that, it frees me from the burden of credit checks, of reconciliations, of
time wasters. Yeah.
Yeah. KYCs on how do I know that they are who they say they are? All those things which in a B2B shop can really kill your productivity, because chasing late invoices and so on is, you know, it's a painkiller.
It
doesn't generate that much value fundamentally.
Yeah,
and here you get a solution that completely boosts the conversions on your checkout. That's fundamentally what you want. Generates massive satisfaction from the buyers, because they don't have to populate this trade account application. You will have an acceptance rate that's north of 80%, which you wouldn't be reaching if you were doing it with your own credit department internally.
Yeah.
And at the same time, gives you a very sleek sub-second checkout process. So that's the, you know, bringing the specificities of B2B into the UX and the convenience of traditional B2C.
Nice. Now, when it comes to B2B, I also get this question all the time, that is, people sometimes struggle to know if B2B is for them or not, because we might identify that certain categories and specific type of products are more friendly or a B2B transition than others. So I'm sure that with the report you guys did, you identify certain categories in the industry that benefit more from a B2B operation than others. So being said that, can you recall some of those, and which are they? Because I'm sure some people might want to also know that.
Yeah, so to be fair, I think we have virtually every sector in each sector that have been people transitioning from B2C to B2B. There are a few things that we wouldn't be able to do, like, you know, all the stuff around, you know, illegal drugs, weapon. There are certain categories that are not very well suited, like jewelry or that kind of stuff, which but apart from that, a lot of the B2B categories are very open, and there are some where I'd say where we see a lot of success. It's like anything that's around food and beverage. Imagine, you're a restaurant, a hotel. Why, honestly, why would you purchase
call on the phone? Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. And all those industries where you have a lot of repeat transactions, like automotive, where you know all the garage networks, honestly, they go through Hokkaido, Happily Pay. Then retail, whenever you have shops on the high street that need to do that purchase, for these businesses, being able to, you know, purchase, get 60 days and sell their goods to their end customers before they have to repay for their stock, that's like a breath of fresh air. Or imagine you're a restaurant, you need to buy vegetables, fish, whatever, every week. If you're able to pay it at the end of the month after you've sold it to your patrons in your restaurant,
you can breathe.
Yeah, you become cash flow. Your cash flow cycle changes immediately. But we see the same thing in pharmaceuticals. It's like in construction. It's massive as well. So there's literally a lot of opportunities. And sometimes I'd say the boundary between B2C and B2B can be a bit blurry. Because we've seen so many businesses, like take ManoMano, which is a marketplace in the construction DIY. Initially they were selling B2C, and at some point they realized that they had a lot of sole traders, electricians, plumbers coming to them and purchasing from the website. And then gradually, then you optimize and you carve out a specific B2B channel and platform for these clients.
Yeah, I think this is also a lesson that for those out there starting the e-commerce journey or the expanding the product catalog, to sometimes think beyond B2C, try to come up with solutions in terms of offerings to the market that's compatible for both things, a B2C consumer, but also B2B. So essentially you can serve both audiences at the same time, you know, and you can leverage both opportunities at once. Now talking about B2B, because this is something I also am very curious about, specifically in Europe. When it comes to B2B, from your experience, because I know you work with so many of them already and you have integrations and all of that, which are some of the number one platforms you could recommend for B2B? When it comes to that,
So in B2B, I'd say the ones we come across the most are probably Magento, Oro. So you still have lots of, you know, Magento / Adobe, some of the larger projects going through this. Shopify has launched a B2B offering that also seems to resonate, especially in the B2 to small B. So those are among the main ones that we see. But you also have BigCommerce being quite having a nice footprint, and a few others. It's worth saying also that there are many specialist businesses that build their own platform. Look at the likes of, you know, Anchor Store, ManoMano, all these businesses, actually, because in B2B, every industry has its own quirks. And it's sometimes difficult to find the, you know, the off-the-shelf platform that is exactly going to fit how your industry operates. So I would say that I still see a fair proportion of custom built solutions.
Yeah, for sure. I have also seen that, like, some industry have marketplaces that are so niche you never heard of them, and it's exactly because of that, because they have different needs, different way of shopping, and it's amazing to see there's so much diversity, you know. Now to start going towards the closure of the episode, like, I would like to also hear your take on how you feel the B2B interaction is going to change in the coming months or years when it comes to commerce? Do you feel B2B is going to transition more and more online, and the physical B2B is kind of disappearing? On top of that, what other things you see coming into the picture that people should be aware of in B2B? Yeah.
So let me think. That's a massive question. So there are a few things. So that one is the genie is out of the bottle. It's going to continue moving online. Absolutely, the number of B2B projects that we see is only accelerating by the day. So that's for sure. I think within this, there's an interesting subcategory, which is that of marketplaces. And there's a bit of an unbundling of B2B with like specialist vertical marketplaces popping up all the time. And if I look at ManoMano, they have way more SKUs than Amazon today in that little world of construction and DIY, but just because like in B2B, when you speak to someone running a business in whatever, like pharma, then you realize that they have thousands of SKUs that are all super customized and all very niche and meeting the needs of a specific customer. So I think that movement of rise of marketplaces is going to continue. So 4 or 5 years ago, we ran a kind of survey to look at how many B2B marketplaces we could find in Europe. I think we had 200 or so. And now we have like close to 1,000. But there are new ones coming up all the time. Like last month, I was talking to a marketplace in automotive that I didn't know even existed. And the guys are grossing like almost half a billion in transactions.
Wow.
And
crazy.
And because it's B2B, I had never heard of them. And there's a good chance no one outside that industry knows them. So I think that's a massive opportunity. Yeah. And that's going to continue. Now, there's the customer journey is far from being perfect. And most providers are still improving their offerings. And I see a lot of merchants, a lot of corporates who've launched their e-commerce program and it failed. And they launched it with a B2C specialist who thought they could do it with B2B. And there are a number of failed B2B launches in the industry, and there are corpses and zombies everywhere. But I think now we're getting to the stage where there's a kind of clearer differentiation that's emerging, some clarity between who knows how to do it, who has a number of successful case studies versus whose platform is actually not really suited to B2B and is not going to cut it. So I think that's also becoming clearer. And that statistic that I was mentioning about 98% of customers reporting issues at checkout, I think within 5 years, some winners are going to emerge and customers will go to those winners. And the hygiene factors of a proper checkout in B2B will actually be met. And that includes, how do you manage a catalog in B2B? How do you manage your pricing grids? How do you manage then the payments and granting the payment terms to your customers? So those are some of the specificities of B2B that will always remain. And there's the last one, which is, I think, one of the big evolutions. It's the, I would call it the rise of omnichannel, because in B2B in particular, I don't think everything will ever move online. So you will still have those large deals that require a lot of negotiation. And ultimately, you have your strategic accounts who have an account executive looking after them. So it's So I don't think we will get rid of this, especially on high value transactions. Of course, probably the long tail of small transactions will and must be digitized. But on the ones that are of, you know, higher average order value, there will be an element of offline negotiation, purchase order, invoicing, and all, you know, all that workflow. And the trick is, how do you combine a process that has bits going online, bits going back to your teams, but still keep a cohesive experience so that, you know, you don't have your customer getting 60 days when they talk to a rep and then they go to the website and they get no payment terms.
I know. Wow. I mean, it's going to be such an interesting journey, to be honest. And I know we're just getting started when it comes to the B2B transition online. But thank you so much for, you know, all the insights. I'm sure a lot of people are going to find it super useful, especially those, you know, just venturing into this. So Louis, tell me a little bit more about Ocode and how people can work with you guys. I know you guys support a B2B business when it comes to all the things we've been talking about. So yeah, how people can get started.
Yeah. So look, we support any merchant selling B2B. Our big focus is online. I mean, we empower merchants and marketplaces to sell more by offering better payment terms, smoother checkout to their customers. So that's the core of what we do. People can reach out to me on louis@hokodo.co, H-O-K-O-D-O, obviously on the Hokodo website as well. We serve all the key geographies in Western Europe. So we're actually present in the UK, France, Germany, Benelux, Spain, Italy. But we have a massive project going on at the moment to serve the rest of Europe by September. So, you know, if you're looking to really grow in B2B, step up and give your customers the checkout experience they deserve, there's a good chance that Hokodo can help you along that journey.
Okay. Awesome, Louis. So thank you so much. I'm going to make sure to put all the information down in the description. And thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure to have on the show. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Vincenzo. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.